Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we're glad you're here. I'm glad that Rich Salmon is with us, too. Rich is an old friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's one of our guys on the ground this week in the Democrat convention in the great city of Boston, Massachusetts. And he's up there. He's been attending the convention, and we've asked him to join us to tell us a little bit about what's going on up there. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Glad to report from Boston. And it's a great week. You got to love these political conventions. I mean, they are technically kind of meaningless because everyone knows who the nominee is, but otherwise, they still do play a role. They sort of excite the base. You get to see if the person looks presidential beyond all of the TV ads, and you get to meet all of the different people from the state. So it's actually nice convening, even though technically conventions today are fairly meaningless.
They're nothing more than a bonfire pep rally kind of thing to roll out the homecoming queen and the homecoming court and to see who's who the pretty faces are and all that kind of thing. But it is important. It's an important part of our democratic heritage that we have here in the United States. And who knows, Rich? Yeah. Maybe it's worth they're worth keeping just in case one day we might actually need one of them. You know, the day could come where we might actually have a little excitement and we might need the process sometime.
Yeah, it still plays a role. And I know what you're saying, Jim. Now, in modern times, we pick our candidates through primaries. And in a generation or two ago, we tended to wait until the convention and then you'd have ballots. The last time we had a multiple ballot, where there's any really suspense was 1952.
Right.
And the last time there was even a hint of any suspense was Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford back in 76.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now you actually were on the floor of the convention, right? Down there with the delegates.
That's the best place to be. There's many receptions all around town and at the Fleet Center, which is where the convention is. But I find the best thing is to go right down onto the floor, go right to the states by their propped up stands and stuff like that, and talk to the delegates and talk to different members of their delegations and really kind of see how is life out in Illinois, stuff like that.
Well, what
just
did they
ask some broad questions, and then come around. Well, why do you think Kerry's better than Bush? And of course, they're all excited to be in town, and you get some panned answers. But what I've found is, if you just talk with them, about 5-10 minutes, that they kind of come around and tell you what's really going on in their state.
What did they tell you? What are some of the interesting things that the Democrat delegates told you?
What I found a lot is, especially in the industrial Midwest, and I'm particularly interested in Mid-Atlantic, Industrial Midwest, and Florida. I really think the election is going to turn there. They have found that jobs are an issue, and yes, the jobs are returning. However, it's not the it is not the statistics that count. It is the perception of the economy that counts. Iraq is certainly important, and Iraq remains an unknown. There may be things that happen there in the next couple of months that change the overall evaluation of Bush's foreign policy. But at home and on the street level, do people feel safe not only about their jobs but about their health care? Because if they lose their jobs or if the economy is only sluggishly coming back, and if they are retirees or if they know retirees, such as their parents, will their parents have health care benefits from their company, things like that?
Well, when they talk about people losing their jobs in the Midwest, the manufacturing jobs primarily, do they feel like there's somebody to blame for that? That there's some politician on one side of the aisle or both sides of the aisle that they feel like they should blame for that?
They do, and that's another thing is about the perception, Jim. It's not exactly about what happens, but certainly the perception is that the jobs have been moved overseas or something like that. In fact, it is sometimes and often the case that the jobs have moved to other parts of the country, or that you know, that line of business has now been replaced by another line. So I don't bring that up. I'm just asking, what are you feeling? How do you make sense of all what's happening in your state?
Right. Rich, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. And folks, when we come back, one of the things I wanted to ask Rich is Mrs. Carey spoke last night. Teresa Hines Carey spoke to the convention. I want to get Rich's comments on that, how he heard it, how it came across to him, and how the folks listening, the other folks listening, thought about it. Also, there was a rather unusual appearance last night, an appearance that a lot of people maybe 10, 20 years ago didn't think would ever happen. And that was, I'm going to get Rich to talk to us about that. 20 till. We'll be right back with Rich Salmon. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. When you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every Sunday. It's free, as I said, and I think you'll like it. Rich Salmon is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Rich is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. As you know, many of you have heard him on the show before, and when he's conducted our weekly visit with to cover the most recent Kiplinger letter. And Rich is on the ground in Boston. He's at the Democrat convention. And Rich, any other things that you heard people talk about? You mentioned health care that you talked to the delegates about. What's their thinking about health care? Did they just want it, regardless of what cost, you know, who pays for it, or are they being more pragmatic about it? Rich, are you there?
Oh, yeah, there are some
here
who suggest that, yeah, hello.
There you go. Right. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, there are some who suggest that healthcare access could be much wider. There are also pragmatic men and women in the delegates in the different states who realize that that costs are escalating, sometimes on companies 15, 16, 17% per year, and that perhaps there might be a better approach to it. One of Carey's is to allow smaller businesses to pool together to buy insurance en masse as a big block to get better breaks. Another thing that I really sensed throughout the whole convention hall was that there was almost more support and unity found among the delegates over the question of not liking Bush than of liking Kerry. And that is something that I'm going to be looking at the next few months. Is it that these Democrats are especially enamored with Kerry, or is it that they find him the only alternative to go with if they are especially upset with the foreign policy and with pre- and post-war Iraq?
Well, you know, that's an okay emotion to have if you're a hardcore dedicated partisan on one side or the other. But if you're not, and that's the emotion that comes across to most people, that can't be good for Mr. Kerry.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking. And I wonder if that might turn around in the next day or two, because certainly what you were looking at on the screen is a very unified convention, which is a rarity for Democrats. Usually that's with Republicans. They drop all their squabbles,
right,
and they get together and they, you know, all get into a circle and they praise the nominee. That is like Democrats this time. It is extreme unity. There are no party squabbles about platforms, about gun issues, about anything controversial. Basically, it's a pep rally, and they want to, you know, send a winner along, according to them. And I just found that, okay, well, what is it that you really, truly like about John Kerry? And it's more often the case that I've found is that they truly dislike George W. Bush, and that is the unifying theme. And I don't know if that's a strong enough theme to for a candidate to run on. Now, I say that it's Wednesday. That could be different tomorrow. Perhaps he'll give a command performance. Things will change a little bit. But that's it today.
Well, let me ask you, as you walked around on the convention floor, did you meet anybody that appeared to be a moderate, a Democratic moderate at all? Somebody who might lean towards being, maybe they might lean toward pro-life, or they might lean toward, you know, they might be in favor of gun, of not having gun control. They might not be, some of the more liberal issues. How many of those folks did you meet?
Yeah, there are definitely delegates who are not what you might think, cookie cutter, liberal Democrats, and they're the only people who ever get chosen by the state party to be a delegate from some different states. Also, if you look for the speeches coming up, and I thought this was true with Barack Obama, the state senator from Illinois last night.
Rich, I'm sorry. The state senator nominee by his party. He's not a state senator.
He is a state senator.
I'm sorry.
He's
You're
running
right. I'm
for
sorry.
The U.S. Senate.
That's right. I misspoke. I thought you misspoke. Yeah, he is a state senator. Exactly. He's not the senator of the U.S. senator yet. Go ahead.
Right. He is he is running for the U.S. Senate. But in any event, notice how he spoke, in my opinion, beyond the party base. And that is something that John Kerry truly needs to do. John Kerry needs to excite the base and at the same time appeal to moderates and some more, moderate Republicans and independents who might be less inclined to vote for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to do more than speak to the delegates at the Fleet Center in Boston. He needs to really appeal to people in the Midwest and
it doesn't
in the South. I mean, Bush is going to carry the South, but Florida is not. Neatly put into that column. Florida is
right.
Going to be a total toss-up.
Well, Florida is not. I still maintain Florida is not a southern state. It's just geographically down there. But let's talk about the Democrats' tent for a second. I mean, it doesn't seem to be. It's diverse, but it's diverse in sort of a non-diverse way. I mean, I don't hear a lot of moderate voices coming from the podium.
Right. Okay. I think.
I mean, we got Kennedy.
When you say diversity of opinion, you certainly don't mean like a diversity of race or culture. But when you mean diversity of opinion, that might be about business issues, things like
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
It seems like it's easy to go into the 9/11 Commission report, the pre-9/11, the pre- and post-war Iraq situation,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of red meat. And I know what you're saying, Jim, and I think maybe one of the reasons is these convention delegates, they come from all over the country,
right.
and they want to get fired up. They want some red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
they haven't gotten a whole lot of red meat.
They
haven't gotten a whole lot of red meat this week, though. Maybe they'll get some later on. When we come back, we're going to get right into Mrs. Kerry's speech and get Rich's opinion of that. And then we're going to talk about that other guy who was a little not surprising because we knew he was going. Just no one ever thought he would actually show up at a Democrat convention. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rich Salmon is our guest. He's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, I encourage you to seek out Rich's copy and his byline at Kiplinger.com. And those of you who are subscribers of the Kiplinger publications know who he is. You've seen his stuff, his word, his byline, and different things that they published. And don't forget, you can check him out at Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger.com. Rich, tell us about what you thought and what you think the delegates thought about Teresa Hines Kerry's speech last night.
Right, Teresa Hines Kerry, and I spoke with a lot of people afterwards. I thought it went on too long. I thought she had some very good points, and she speaks well about the diversity quotient of the Democratic Party, with the coming from Mozambique and living under a dictatorship. I kind of liked that, a little bit of that she knows what it's like to live under a dictatorship, and by comparison, America is the only place. And she found her first love here in the late Senator John Hines, who died in 1991 in a helicopter crash, and then John Kerry, and the two of them have had a strong union. She goes on at length, and she doesn't like when people call her opinionated, but she most certainly is.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I can be attacked for that. It's if I'm overly opinionated, I can get called the same thing. What I found from delegates is that they're there to really spirit on John Kerry, And she would have gone on for a long while there with a lovely speech, but very little of it to do with John Kerry.
The first 13 to 15 minutes or so of her speech, according to what I read today, had no mention of his name.
Wow. Yeah, well, that'll be about right, 12 to 15 minutes. And so it wasn't a rambling or spacey speech. It was just it was her own thoughts on the world, and that's not what the Democratic Convention is. It's there to talk about John Kerry.
Well, and also, I just wonder how people feel about the fact that not too many more than 10 years ago, she was on the total opposite side of the fence. She was a Republican.
Yeah, she was a Republican.
And she was very outspoken about her disdain for certain members of the Democrat Party, some of whom have been were on the podium this week.
Yes, they are. You bring up a good point, a valid point, Jim. And I think that she will be a issue. She's going to add a lot of color and intrigue in the next couple of months. I imagine she might pipe down on some things, and she'll probably make a pledge that she would never be involved in policy positions in a potential Kerry administration,
right.
That she would much rather manage the very large endowment of the Teresa Hines Foundation. But she tends to... I think when you have that much inherited money, you can almost say anything and then keep walking on.
Do you think Teresa Kerry could become a problem for Mr. Kerry during the campaign? Some of her outspoken ways.
Part of me thinks that she can, and then I think it might be a wash, Jim, because I think John Kerry really needs to get the women's vote, and that means the single and the married women's vote.
Right.
If you remember, Al Gore sort of lost it. He actually got more than George Bush did, but he didn't get the percentage that he needed in the women's vote.
Right.
There are a lot of single and married women who are independent and opinionated and smart and educated, and I think some of them are inspired by Teresa Hines Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might wonder if they're voting for her instead of John Kerry, but I think it might be a wash.
Well, that's a good point. Let's change subjects for a second, persons for a second, and talk about a person whose name I never thought I would hear at a Democrat convention, and that's the name of Ron Reagan. He spoke last night, didn't he, the son of President Reagan.
He sure did. He claims that it was not a political speech, and yes, it was specifically and solely about stem cell research, which, of course, is a issue that George W. Bush has been careful with, in part his conservative religious base, with the work being done on stem cells and whether or not to increase them and expand them beyond what is already allowed. I thought that it was a political speech nonetheless, just by being there and by the name, it was a political speech. And also, Ron Reagan Jr. is a bit of a media personality in his own right. If he had not been, I wonder if he would have been even invited.
Right.
Or
well, and of course, many people say that if it weren't for his name, he would not have been invited. And I think that's a fair point, and I think that's accurate. And he'd probably agree with that. But it was just such an interesting thing to see somebody named Ron Reagan speaking at a Democrat convention. Rich Salmon, thank you for being here.
Right, and now we have to see if the Republicans are going to try to get Amy Carter.
I like that. Good. I want you to recommend that, Rich. Thanks, Rich Salmon, for being here. See you next time. Rich Salmon, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.